As promised, we're going to catch up with Stephen Luscombe from Blancmange. And here's a wee reminder. You keep me running round and round. Well, that's all right with me. Nothing's gonna slip him away. Living on the ceiling. No more room down there. Things fall into place. You get the job, fall into place. What are these waves? They're coming over me. It must be my destiny. Blind visions and no reasons. No reasons for action. In a dream when I'm reading pages full of words, the harder you look, it's getting hard, it's getting hard.
Ah, great stuff from Blancmange. Many's the time tried to dance to those, but you know what I'm like at dancing. Stephen's down the line. Stephen, how you doing?
I'm very well. A bit hot, though.
Well, listen, where are you? You in London?
Well, yeah, we just touched 90 degrees Fahrenheit.
You're kidding me.
32 in Albany.
Well, listen, we're just glad it's not raining, because we had sort of Noah and his ark kind of rain for about a month now, you know. So, the sun made an appearance, and there were people phoning in saying, what is the strange thing in the sky?
Yeah,
I know, but I know, because looking at the weather map on the TV, you can see you're getting all the good stuff. You see that?
Well, it's about time, too. We've had a really, really horrible... I know it's been like up your way, but it's been horrific down here.
Yeah, we've had floods everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean, up mountains and all, you know, where you can't get flooding, but I mean, you need it for the Olympics. You know? That's
well, I went to have a look at the site yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting. You can't actually get into the thing, but if you go into the John Lewis store, which is adjacent to the place, you can go on the third floor and have a look over, and it's really, really quite amazing place.
So there's no security men now? Anybody can walk in?
No, you know? There's loads of them.
Did they manage to find some?
Yeah. Well, they were the ones that stopped me going in directly to John Lewis, see?
All right.
That's why I was up there.
Tell them who you are. Play Living on the Ceiling at them. They'll let you in. You have to. Listen, we just played a few snippets there, Living on the Ceiling, Waves, Blind Vision. I mean, what does it feel like when you hear those now?
Strange.
Yeah.
But I remember all the good times making them, though.
But it's funny. Now, a lot of the acts of the time, you know, relied on the technology. I suppose you did as well. But, I mean, listening to Blind Vision, there wouldn't sound out of place in the charts nowadays. Considering, you know, the way some of some of them have embraced maybe similar recording styles that you did, you know, and it's certainly a big dance floor song.
Well,
still,
Blind Vision, for example, that was produced by John Luongo. He remixed our second single, which is Feel Me.
Yeah.
And we really liked the approach he'd taken, and he had a long history of being as a disco producer in the '70s.
Yeah.
Up in Boston and New York, so we went over to. Sigma Sound, which is the famous old Philly sound studio in New York, the other one being in Philadelphia,
yeah.
And recorded Blind Vision there. And it was, I think, the whole sort of atmosphere sort of rubbed off, really.
Yeah, because it's still a song that I would get asked for in clubs, you know, when people want to get up and dance. I mean, you'll be playing things like, you'll play Depeche Mode and you'll play the Human League and things like that, but you'll always get asked for Blind Vision and Living on the Ceiling and everything else, you know. Maybe you should just remix it and punch it out again, you know?
Again?
Yeah.
Another remix for a remix.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I know you had all those hits and you were releasing the albums, and then in 87, yourself and Neil decided to call it a day. Was it a sort of bit of a heart-wrenching moment when that happened?
Yes and no, because, I mean, we've got to the point. I mean, the average age of a pop age, the average span of a pop group then, I don't know what it is like now, but about 5 years, that was our manager told us anyway. And by the end of, you know, we got to 85, 86, and we were tired for anything else and starting to get bored with the whole thing. So we thought, let's just jack this in for a while, you know, otherwise we'll fall out,
yeah,
murder each other or something, you
yeah,
know, or worse. So we stopped, and in actual fact, it was good because it was a springboard for us to do other things.
Yeah, because you then worked under the name the West India Company and sort of did a lot of Indian-influenced music,
right,
didn't
yeah.
you, yeah?
I've been working with Dinesh. I mean, I had to stop because I've been ill. But up until recently, I was working for 25 years with Dinesh, our percussion player.
Yeah.
He took us we went to Bombay for 6 months, worked there with Asha Bhosle and the great R.D. Burman, who probably, I don't know if your listeners are aware of him, but it's a very famous Indian film composer. He's died now, the poor thing. And I met him, worked with him, and it was a great honour because he's just a fantastic man. And he had also had a great sense of humour. Because I remember when I was a little kid, I used to get my paper around on Radio 4. So I think it was the Home Service in those days.
Yeah.
We had a programme on there for Asian people called Make Yourself at Home. And a lot of the time, they just used to play all these records, and I never heard anything like it. I mean, it's just like a mad mixture. His stuff was even madder. And I remember having my favourite records, not knowing who he was, were a lot of his tracks. And then we finally got to work with him. It was just a real honour, you know.
That must have been a real buzz, you know.
It was fantastic.
Someone whose work you really love, and then you actually get to work with
like
them.
That and then work with him. It's like a real joy.
Brilliant. I mean, it's not. I mean, again, I'm lucky in this job. There are people I've maybe been a fan for decades, and some days they walk into the studio, and it's terrific. You know, what about? I mean, yourselves, Blancmange. There were only the two of you. Would the career have been longer, do you think, if you'd had sort of five or six guys in the band like Duran Duran or Spandau Ballet, who ended up nearly strangling each other?
Well,
you know?
Exactly. I think, you're in proximity to each other for majority of your time, even longer than probably your partner or whatever. You're in the studio, then you're doing...
Well, have to have a special relationship with the person you're working with then.
Well, it's like a marriage, especially with just the two of you.
Yeah.
You get to the point where you start bickering. I mean, Daniel Miller, who was the head of Mute Records, the Depeche Mode people, we knew Daniel quite well anyway, and we had an EP out called Irene and Mavis. The only reason being that we found the pictures of these two old dears in a laundrette, and it just sort of, stream of consciousness stuff, really.
Yeah.
And then Daniel said... because there's the Godfathers of Punk and there's the Godfathers of that, and he called us the maiden aunts of electronic music, which we've kept.
Well, maiden aunts of electronic, I suppose there's a compliment in there somewhere.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what did you do many live gigs?
Oh, loads. I mean, somebody asked us a question on an interview the other day, what do you think of all this X Factor people?
Mm-hmm.
And without being uncharitable, I mean, a lot of them have not ever done anything in front of an audience before a lot of the time.
Yeah.
They haven't what we call paying their dues, because we used to go out...
Yeah, see, that's old school. That's what I showed at the TV as well.
That's right.
They've never done a gig.
They've
never carried gear up four flights of stairs.
Because not recently, about 10 years ago, Dinesh and I went off to work for the National Youth Music Theatre, and we had 40-odd kids... teenagers, a lot of them thought they were going to be on X Factor. We said, no, you're not. You're going to learn a craft here.
Yeah.
You're going to learn your business. Otherwise, you'll just end up as a sort of, sitting on the telly for 5 minutes and that's your lot. And that isn't what it's about.
Exactly. You just get your 5 minutes of fame and then bye-bye when it becomes very, very apparent.
Well,
you can't do the job.
Crummy little clubs, where it's just Neil's dad and her dog as the audience. But you just have to do it.
Yeah, it's all, we used to say paid rehearsals, but most of the time unpaid rehearsals, you know what I mean? That's what it's like.
Yeah, no, if you're lucky.
I mean, I remember getting into the van with the band and driving for 2 hours to play to 12 people. Like
So you were in a band then?
Oh, listen, played in bands for years,
All right.
And always did. But I mean, but I grew up in an era where everyone was in a band.
Yeah.
All your mates were in it. It's a thing to do, and some people stuck at it for a while. But we've all done that, as you say, playing to two men and a dog.
Mm.
And looking at each other saying, what are we doing here?
There you go, dolphins together, have a few pints and have a laugh.
Yeah, that's it. It's the making of you. Well, listen, I wanted to... The very best of Blancmange has just been released, hasn't it? And is this a double CD?
Yes.
Well, then there must be more mixes and stuff, eh?
Well, that's right, because what happened in the past, record companies have just shoved the thing in the post and it came to the letterbox and that was it. Is your compilation records, lads, goodbye. So we heard that this one was going to be coming out on Demon Records, it's part of the BBC, and we said, well, look, can we have a say in what goes on this, please? It's our music, after all, to the best you can. And so we ended up with this huge list, digging out the old cardboard boxes and tapes and cassettes.
Cassettes, yes.
And some old John Peel sessions, lots and lots of things like that, mixes that people have never heard. It's not... overtly, you know, unknown, but it's all the old favourites on there as well.
You know, but I love it that the second disc has got the sort of extended versions and 12-inch versions and things like that. That's terrific, you know.
Yeah, that's always a good laugh.
Yeah, good laugh. You're demeaning the art, you see. You know, I love those. You know,
I'm not. we do take it seriously, but we're not serious. If you know what
I
mean.
Yeah. So you're not gigging again or anything, no?
Well, I'm not. As I say, I've been poorly.
Yeah.
But Neil's been out with Dinesh and another guy called Graham, who's been taking my part, and they've been gigging and doing very, very well. Apparently, I went to one of them in London, the O2. And it was packed out, and I was really surprised actually about how young some of the people who were there, you know, in their sort of late teens, early 20s. They knew all the words, can believe it.
Well, you see, that's the beauty of all this downloading, you know.
I know.
They don't have to physically find a record in a shop anymore. They just hear something somewhere.
Here's the money.
and grab it. But that, you know, I'm fighting that doing club nights as well. You're getting teenagers or people in their early 20s asking for, you know, stuff that's 30 and 40 years old, you know?
Yeah.
It's terrific, you know? You get to play all the old stuff again.
Of course it is,
you know?
Yeah,
and
really.
The kids think it's new, you know? But listen, Stephen, thanks for talking to us.
No worries.
And get Christ the Olympics, go on. You've got to go. So the stadium looks brilliant then,
well,
does it?
Well, I feel like the only one that's not going. Neil's going to be going.
Yeah.
He's got some tickets from a friend of his who knows Roger Black.
Oh, right. Oh,
who, apparently, he chose one of our records as a Desert Island Disc, so that's probably where that came from.
Yeah.
And even the lad at the bottom of our own little shop, he's going, he's won it in a prize. So I feel like quite left behind.
Watch it on TV like the rest of us, mate.
Eh?
You have to watch it on TV like everybody else.
I saw it yesterday, and I think it's a really good... I mean, you know, if I hear one more person complaining about it, I'll thump them.
Yeah. Well,
because it is a big thing.
It's the biggest sporting event
regardless
in the
whether
world.
You're into sport or not.
Yeah, exactly. Massive event.
I think it's a very marvellous thing.
Good stuff. Listen, Stephen, thanks for joining us, mate. Okay, good
Okey
luck.
Okey-dokey.
Cheers, mate.